Well, I was glad when they said unto me, let us go to the house of the Lord. How many's glad to be in church tonight? How many came to worship God in this place? Oh, that ought to be our desire. That ought to be our goal every time we get together. We ought to be here to give God the glory, to lift up the name of Jesus. And I read something recently that came to my mind tonight as we were getting in here and worshiping God. I read about a certain Air Force base down in Florida. Some of you may have read this or heard this as well. The name of it was the Eglin Air Force Base. And they said that several years ago, some of the residents who were living around that area, they began to complain about the noise levels as those F-15 fighter jets were flying overhead and some of those other aircrafts were taking off or returning to land. They began to complain that it was loud. And in fact, their complaint was, it's unbearable to live around here. It's so loud, we can't hear a thing. And so, Brother Helton, the government intervened. The government stepped in. And here's how they solved that dilemma. They put a large sign over the entrance of that Eglin Air Force Base. And on that sign were these words. It said, pardon the noise. It's the sound of freedom. Amen. I like that. Pardon the noise. It's the sound of freedom. Well, here we are in the house of God tonight, the first night of revival. Last Sunday night of November, and you know, this world doesn't understand us Pentecostal people. You realize that? This world doesn't understand why we praise God, and really nothing's changed from the book of Acts. You read way back in Acts chapter 2 when the Holy Ghost fell, and they came out of the upper room speaking in tongues, on fire, looking like drunk men. Right away, the world looked at them and they asked, what meaneth this? They didn't understand what was going on. And you know, tonight, here we are, thousands of years later, and the world still looks at us. They don't understand why we shout. They don't understand why we get emotional. They don't understand why folks act like this brother does here tonight, why we sing and clap our hands. They don't understand why we say hallelujah or glory to God or thank you, Jesus. But you know what we ought to tell this world in these last days? Pardon the noise. It's the sound of freedom. Amen. How many's glad you're free tonight? How many's been liberated by the blood of Jesus Christ? You know what the psalmist said? Psalm 107 and verse 2, he said, let the redeemed of the Lord say so. Amen. And really, if I can put that in just common language, what he was saying is this. If you're saved tonight, if you're here and you're washed in the blood, you got a right to let freedom ring when you come to church. Amen. If you're here tonight and you're saved, you don't have to sit back quiet or reserved. That's not in order. If you're here and you're saved, we got a right to raise our hands and open our mouth and praise God. Amen. Can we do that tonight? I believe it'd be fitting. One more time. Let's raise our hands. Everybody in the house, let's just take a moment. Let's thank God. Let's not ask Him for anything. Let's just thank Him that we're saved and redeemed. Thank you, God. Hallelujah. Holy, holy, holy is the name of the Lord tonight. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. We never waste time when we worship God. You know that? Amen. I'd like to tell the world, pardon the noise. It's the sound of freedom. Amen. Praise God. That's where revival comes, when we praise God, when we worship. And I've always said it this way, it pays to praise. And I'd like to remember that when we come to church. It'll pay off tonight if somebody will worship God. Now, if we don't, we may go home wishing we'd got more. But if we'll praise God, God inhabits the praises of His people. Amen. Hallelujah. I feel like the Lord's here to help us have revival tonight. The book of Acts, chapter 16. Let's get right in the word of the Lord. The book of Acts, the 16th chapter. Everybody that will go with me tonight for the reading of the scripture. Acts chapter 16. Felt like the Lord laid this on my heart today, and I want to try to obey Him. Acts chapter 16. Good to be here again. We're here in March for a youth rally, and we enjoyed that service then. The power of God moved so wonderful. And we're just glad to be back tonight. Appreciate the invitation and the opportunity to get to come. I just want the Lord to help us this week, don't you? And I'd like to see God just set the tone tonight. I'm like Brother Helton. I've been praying for souls to be saved. That's the most important thing. And we need people to be filled with the Holy Ghost. And I'm sure all of us that have both of those experiences, we can use a refilling. Amen. So we all have needs tonight. Let's just press in and see what God will do. We're glad to be here. Acts chapter 16. If you're there, say amen. Acts 16, we're going to begin reading in verse 16 tonight. Acts 16 and verse 16, the Bible reads like this, "And it came to pass, as we went to prayer..." I want you to notice the setting of this story here. When it says we, this story is focusing on Paul and Silas. They're the main characters in this chapter. In fact, many of you Bible readers will remember later on in this chapter, a great miracle happened. Paul and Silas were in prison, but God sent an earthquake. You remember that? And set them free. So Paul and Silas are here. And then we know that Luke wrote the book of Acts, and he said we. So I'm going to assume that he was here as well, maybe some others, but at least those men. "It came to pass, as we went to prayer, a certain damsel possessed with a spirit of divination met us, which brought her masters much gain by soothsaying. The same followed Paul and us, and cried, saying, 'These men are the servants of the Most High God, which show unto us the way of salvation.' And this did she many days. But Paul, being grieved, turned and said to the Spirit, 'I command thee in the name of Jesus Christ.'" Amen. What a lovely name. "I command thee in the name of Jesus Christ to come out of her. And he came out the same hour." Amen. I'm glad it doesn't take God long to work. Aren't you? I'll tell you how I feel about it tonight. In this same hour, before this next hour's up, I believe God can come in here and save and heal and deliver and baptize in the Holy Ghost and fire. How many know God can move in a hurry when we let Him? Amen. He can move quickly. Praise God. That's all we'll read tonight. I want to draw your attention back to one verse of Scripture, though. That's on my heart. Verse 16. Verse 16, a great miracle happened here. Revival was going on in Philippi. But I want you to notice again, the Bible said it came to pass as we went to prayer. How many know when the church starts praying, the devil gets stirred up? Amen. Here they are. "It came to pass as we went to prayer, a certain damsel," notice this, "possessed with a spirit of divination met us." What this woman have? A spirit of divination. That word divination, of course, means witchcraft, soothsaying, fortune telling. This woman had this evil ability from the enemy to foretell the future. And so I want you to picture this with me tonight. Get this setting in your mind. Here's the church, Paul and Silas and Luke, and I trust they're like we are tonight. They're wanting revival. Amen. They're wanting more of God. They realize the only way to get revival is we got to pray. We got to get to the altar. That's the only way it's going to come. And so here they are. They're on their way to the place of prayer. The church is moving in action. And as it always is, as the church is moving to revival, here comes this hindrance. Amen. Here comes this woman out, and she's got a spirit of divination in her. And so right away, a battle breaks out, Brother Austin. Right away, there's a confrontation. On one side, we got the church, and over here, we got the power of the enemy. Amen. On one side, we got the power of God, and over here, we got a spirit of darkness. And you know tonight, how many realize we're still on that same battlefield in this hour? Even when we come to the house of God, we may not always think of it this way. But as we sit in church tonight, while heaven is wanting to help us, hell is wanting to hinder us from having revival. There's a battle that's going on, even right now. And somebody's going to get the upper hand. Amen. One side is going to win. One side is going to be the overcomer. And so this battle breaks out in Philippi. I wonder tonight, before we get right into preaching, is there anybody here that's reading out of a Thompson Chain Bible? Anybody at all? Amen. You are, Brother Good. There's a couple others. Anybody maybe got a Dake Bible you're reading out of? A couple here. The reason I ask that is this. If you're reading out of one of those Bibles, it'll vouch for what I'm going to say here. If you're not, maybe you can look it up in a dictionary when you go home tonight. But I was reading this a few weeks ago in my devotions one morning, just like you do, reading your Bible. And I came to verse 16. I was reading out of a Thompson Chain Bible. And I don't always look into the side margin where the notes are, but I did that day.
day. And I feel like maybe the Holy Ghost directed me there. And there in the side margin of the Thompson Chain Bible in verse 16, it says, divination or of Python. Anybody see that? Amen. Divination or of Python. And now, I got to be honest with you. When I saw that, that got my attention right away. Amen. Because again, I know what I think of when I think of the word divination. I think of witchcraft, soothsaying, fortune telling. And I also know what I think of when I see the word python. Amen. Right away you think of a serpent, don't you? A big, large, strong, muscular serpent that nobody wants to tangle with. Amen. And so right away when I read that, that got my attention. And I began to study this. And sure enough, you know what I found out? In the Greek, everybody knows the New Testament was written in the Greek originally. In the Greek, the word divination is python. Amen. That's a Greek word, python. And so I want to read verse 16 again one more time. Not changing anything, but if we were back in the New Testament days in the original Greek, here's how this verse would read, verse 16. It came to pass as we went to prayer, a certain damsel possessed with the spirit of the python met us. Amen. My, when we read it like that, it gets a little more vivid, doesn't it? I don't know about you, but it comes to life. Again, I want you to see it. Here's the church. They're like us tonight at Linwood. They're wanting revival. They're wanting a move of God. They realize they got a price to pay. And here they come advancing. And here comes this woman out to meet them. And if we could see her in the spirit realm, she's got a spirit like a serpent. Amen. We know who that's a type of, don't we? She's got a spirit of a python. And right away, there's a battle that breaks out. The church against the serpent. Amen. The church against the python. Who's going to win the battle? I like how this story ends up, though. Verse 18, the Bible said this, but Paul, being grieved, turned and said to the Spirit, I command thee in the name of Jesus Christ to come out of her. And he came out that same hour. Amen. Sounds to me like God gave the church power over the python. Doesn't it to you? That's what I want to preach about tonight. If the Lord will help me, I want to preach very simply on power over the python. Power over the python. Because I want us to be reminded of a couple things on this first night of revival that the Lord's laid on my heart. Number one, we need to realize we are in a battle with the devil. Amen. We need to realize we're not just going to waltz to revival. We're not just going to automatically show up every night and have a move of God. There is an enemy that's fighting us. How many realize that? There's a devil that'd like to hold us back, even right here tonight, and quench this service. But not only do I want us to realize that, I also want us to realize tonight we don't have to let the devil back us up in a corner and wrap himself around us and squeeze the life out of us. Tonight, in the name of Jesus, there's victory over the enemy that's fighting you. You can leave here with power over the devil in your life. Amen. Raise your hands this way one more time. Will you pray with me tonight? Let's ask God to have his way in this service. Oh, Heavenly Father, we thank you tonight. We praise you for what you've been doing here in this service. I ask now that you just touch us, God. Thank you for your word. We know it's anointed. And now we ask that you help us preach from it. Give us an ear to hear. And I pray tonight that you'll not just anoint me, anoint this congregation, that we may all be in one accord tonight and move around the altar. And we'll praise you for it in Jesus' name. Everybody said amen and amen. We read here tonight from one of my favorite chapters in the book of Acts. And I say one of my favorite because I got a feeling as Pentecostals, we're probably all a little partial to Acts chapter 2, right? If I took a survey here tonight, and not just here, probably at any Pentecostal church, and I asked people when they were coming through the door, what's your favorite chapter in the book of Acts? I'd say that when we got done with the tally, Acts 2 would probably be right at the top. Amen? And really, that's the way it ought to be. We're Pentecostal, aren't we? We believe in the moving of the Holy Ghost. And what a day that was in the upper room. 120 got in one mind and one accord. The Holy Ghost came through like a mighty rushing wind. The fire set on each of them. Not just one or two got blessed, but everybody in the house got in that service. I'd like to be in a service like that, wouldn't you? A lot of times it's two or three or a group over here and a group over there worshiping. But what kind of service would it be if everybody in the house was praising God and have their mind on Him. I'd like to have a revival like that this week. Amen. And not only did that happen, but when the dust settled and everything cleared, 3,000 souls got saved. Amen. What a revival that was. And so, I'll be honest tonight, Acts chapter 2 is my favorite chapter in this book of Acts, but I also admit to you that outside of that chapter, if we don't include that one, my next favorite chapter in this book is this one that we read from tonight, Acts chapter 16. And I love that chapter. It's always been one of my favorites because it's a chapter of salvation and deliverance. Amen. This chapter, if you'll read through it, it's a chapter of miracles. You know what this chapter does? It's a testimony of what God can do for the individual. No matter who you are tonight, no matter what you come facing or up against, you know what this chapter lets me know? If God be for us, who can be against us? There's a God that can break the chain, set the soul free, shake the prison house, and give us revival if we'll let Him have His way. Amen? That's what this chapter's all about. In fact, if we'll just gaze through this chapter real quick, right from the very beginning of it, we see how God can get a hold of a young life. Amen? In verse number 1, Acts 16 and verse 1, we read about a young man by the name of Timotheus. We know him better as Timothy in the Bible, in the rest of the Bible. And right here, God got a hold of his life. God began to call Timothy into the ministry. God separating him to the work of the gospel. He got a hold of him and he began to go with Paul and preach. And you know what that lets me know tonight? God is still interested in young lives in this house. Amen. I thank God for the elders. I looked around here tonight. We was having service. And I see elders that have blazed the trail. And they've been holy and lived for God. But I also see another generation here, teenagers and young married couples. I'd like to encourage you tonight. God can get a hold of your life if you'll let Him. He's still the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. What He did for grandma and grandpa, He can do for you if you'll let Him have His way in your life. Amen. That's what God did for Timothy. And so we see at the beginning of the chapter, God will get a hold of a young life. But then if that's not enough, we go to the middle of the chapter. And here we see how God will get a hold of a demon-possessed person. In our text tonight, again, that woman is bound by the devil. She's a hopeless situation, bound in the clutches of the python. But oh, isn't it wonderful? One moment in the presence of God, and she's delivered. Amen. It didn't take long. That same hour, the chains come off, and the demon-possessed is free. And so God will take the young life. He'll take the demon-possessed life. But then we go to the end of the chapter. And there in Acts 16 and verse 30, I believe it is, Paul and Silas are in a prison house. It's midnight. They're beaten. They're bloody. They're bound. But you know what I like about those preachers? They weren't sitting on their pew discouraged. They weren't sitting in that cell weeping. What were they doing? They begin to sing praises at midnight. And God shook the prison. And He set everybody in the house free. And I'll tell you what I think the greatest miracle was. It wasn't the prison house being shaken. It wasn't the doors coming open. The greatest miracle was this, Brother Newcomb. God got that hard-hearted jailer, probably the meanest man in the bunch. You know, God can arrest the jailer even. Amen. God, you said God arrested you. God can arrest the jailer, the hard-hearted man. And by the time we get to the end of the chapter, that jailer's down on his knees, and he's saying, "What must I do to be saved?" I don't know about you tonight, but I'm hungry for a revival like that. I'd like to see them come in here this week and say, "I got to get the Lord. I got to be saved. Amen. I need salvation." That's what revival's all about, isn't it? Amen. And so this chapter is a chapter of miracles. Amen. You know what this chapter's letting me know? It doesn't matter what your condition is tonight. Jesus can save anybody in any shape. Hell, yes, He can. I've talked to people before, and they say things like this, "Brother Jerry, you don't know everything I've been through. You don't know how low I am. You don't understand my loved ones. They're far from God. They're deep in sin." You know what this chapter lets me know? Jesus can take a soul from the hellhole to the heavenly roll, from the mire to the choir, from the guttermost to the uttermost. Aren't you glad glad tonight there's a deliverer, and his name is Jesus. You don't have to be wrapped up and bound by the world. I like the song they sang. I'm wrapped up in Jesus, tangled up not by the python or the things of the world, but by the things of God. There's power over the devil in the name of Jesus tonight. Somebody shout amen if you believe it. And so this chapter is really a chapter of deliverance, miracle, salvation. If you're here tonight, maybe you're not saved. Maybe you're here and you are saved, but you're oppressed. You know, there's people sitting on our church pews all over America. I don't know it all, but when I go to revivals, you know what I see? People who are saved, but they can't get their hands up and enjoy the liberty. They never praise God. They don't pray at the altar. That python has wrapped them up. I'd like to tell you, on the first night of revival, it's not the will of God for us to come to church and never enjoy the liberty of the Holy Ghost. It's not the will of God for us to come in here and be bound by the things of the enemy. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. There's power over the python in the name of Jesus. Amen. Praise God. If we'd have read all this chapter tonight, we would have seen how Paul the Apostle had a vision in the night. Back in verse number 9, we refer to it as the Macedonian call. You remember that? I'm sure you Bible readers. Paul had a call. That's what separated him from a lot of people. Amen. The call of God was on his life. And you read the Bible, that call drove Paul all the way to the city of Philippi. He saw in a vision a man from Macedonia, and he was saying, come over and help us. We need revival. We need a move of God. We need preaching. And here comes Paul. And when Paul got to Philippi, you know what happened? Revival broke out. Amen. The Spirit of God began to move. And I tell you tonight, we need a revival like they had at Philippi right here in Cincinnati, Ohio. Amen. You know what I like about that revival at Philippi? It was a Bible revival. Amen. And really, that's the best kind. You know how revival came there? Paul began to preach the gospel. The word of God's going forth. But not only is Paul preaching, it's not just all about preaching, you know. You know what else was happening? The Bible said the Lord was opening the heart of the people. Amen. Here's a man in the pulpit preaching, and there's people in the pew like a little baby bird in a nest. They were wide open, amen, saying, drop it in, I want it. The Bible said it like this: the people of Philippi, they attended unto the things which were preached and spoken of by Paul. And I want to tell you tonight, friend, that's still the way revival comes. When the preacher preaches and the church opens up, and not only do we hear it, but we come to the altar and we do it, and we pray through. And we line up to it. How many know God will still give us revival if we'll come God's way in this hour? Amen. I like to realize I have a job to do in revival. I must open up. And so everything's going great in Philippi. I want you to get that picture. Everything's going wonderful. There's revival. But again, I reiterate, the devil hates the move of God. The devil always fights the church as having revival. And sure enough, in the midst of this great move of God, souls being saved, people getting delivered, here comes this woman. And she's got a spirit of divination. Amen. A spirit of python in her. And I want to preach right there a little while tonight, if the Lord will help me. You know why? I feel like we are dealing with that same spirit in this generation, Brother Hilton. That same spirit that wanted to choke out revival in Philippi, it liked to choke out revival in 2006. I'll tell you why I think this is noteworthy. If you'll study the book of Acts, this is the only time in the whole book of Acts that a name is pinned on a spirit. I think that's notable. I want you to understand what I mean. If you'll read the book of Acts, there's many times in the book of Acts the Bible says something like this: so-and-so had a foul spirit, or an unclean spirit, or an evil spirit, something like that, vague. But this is the only time in the book of Acts when a name is pinned on a spirit specifically. The Holy Ghost didn't leave us no guessing game. When God moved on Luke, it seemed like God told Luke when he wrote the book of Acts, I want you to stamp a name on this spirit that's after revival. And Luke wrote the only name on a spirit in the book of Acts. He said this spirit was like a python. Amen. In the Greek, or divination in our language. Amen. This spirit, it's the only time in the book of Acts. And again, I say tonight, that same spirit is after the Pentecostal church in this generation. We come to the house of God. You know, when we come to church, a lot of times we got a different language that we use in the house of God. You know that? The world sometimes don't understand what we mean. For example, we come to church sometime, and if the service isn't going real good, we say it's kind of dry tonight. You ever heard that? It's dry in here. Now, if you brought somebody from the outside who'd never been to church before, and you told them that, they wouldn't know what you're talking about, would they? What do you mean it's dry in here? Of course it is. But we know what it means. We're wanting the rain of the Holy Ghost to come down, right? We want the power of God. Sometimes when the preacher's preaching, if nothing's happening, we say it's kind of quiet in church tonight. And the world don't understand what we mean, but we know. And have you ever heard this? Sometimes we come to church and we say things like this: it's kind of tight in here tonight. Amen. Amen. I've said that before. Maybe others don't understand, but we know what we mean, don't we? Amen. We can't hardly get loose. Sometimes the choir sings and they say it feels tight. I feel like something's choking us. Sometimes the singer can't get his words out and the preacher struggles. You know what's going on? That spirit of the python is coming in and wrapping around us, and slowly but surely it's squeezing revival out. That's why I say tonight, we need the power of the Holy Ghost. You know what Paul realized? If we can get this python out of the way, we can get to where revival is. If we can get the hindrance and the enemy out. You know what I'd like to do tonight? Let's shake that serpent off in the fire. Let's get him under our foot. Let's tread on him, and we can have revival. There's power that's greater than the power of the enemy. Amen. Won't you raise your hands and thank God? He's given us power over the devil in this hour. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Amen. I got to studying about this. When I came across this in the Bible, it's got my attention, Brother Helton. And I got to studying about this. And you know what historians say? Bible commentators, historians say that in Bible days there was a fable that was believed throughout the land. They say that many idol worshipers had spread this myth. They believed that just outside of the city of Philippi, high up on a mountain, they believed that there lived a giant serpent that went by the name of Pytho. Amen? Pytho. Incidentally, that's where the word python originated from. These idol worshipers worshipped and believed in this giant serpent that was named Pytho. And not only did they believe that he really lived up there, they believed that if you would go up there, they believed this serpent had a voice like a man. They believed that he could talk to you. A giant serpent named Pytho. They believed he could speak. And here's the interesting part. Not only did they believe he could talk, they believed he had the ability to foretell your future. Amen. They believed this, and they spread this false belief. They said, if you'll go up there and visit the giant's talking serpent Pytho, he'll predict your future. He'll tell you things that are going to come to pass. And they say in Bible days, if somebody like this woman that we read about, if they came walking through the city and they had that same ability, that spirit on them, they say people would point at them and they'd say the spirit of the python has got a hold of them. Amen. That person right there, they've been up there to the mountain, they saw the serpent god, and the spirit of the python has got them in his clutch. Well, I want to preach about that tonight, because I tell you, I got a feeling that was a myth. Don't you? I don't believe that was really a truth. I believe that's some idle tale, some idle thing that they came up with. But I want to spiritualize that tonight, and I want us to understand there is a serpent that we are fighting in this hour, and his name is the devil. Amen. He's no myth. He's no fairy tale. He's not some legend. I'm not here to glorify him tonight. I'm come here to glorify Jesus, but I want us to have a wake-up call. I'll tell you why I get burdened. Some people act like the devil's a myth. Amen. We can sit back and have revival. We can go through the motions and have revival. I want us to realize tonight there is an enemy. He's fighting. He's biting. We're not going to beat him by flesh and blood. Paul realized it's going to take more than a fancy sermon and a new song. I got to get to the upper room and be endued with power. I like to find a way to overcome the enemy. Is there anybody here tonight that'd like to have a revival of the Holy Ghost? It's going to take a power that's greater than the power of hell in this hour. Amen. Have you got the power of the Holy Ghost in your life? We're going to have him in this generation. I read something the other day that fascinated me. Amen. As the Lord was dealing with me about this sermon, I was in Virginia in a revival down at Brother Randy Webb's church. And I picked up the newspaper in that little small town. And on the front page, there was an article about an elder farmer in West Virginia. Lived up in the rural mountains of West Virginia. And they say that this farmer was working out in his garden one day, and he came across a rattlesnake. Amen. I don't know about you. I don't like any kind of snakes, huh? I don't care if it's a black snake, a garter snake, non-poisonous. I don't care. I don't want anything to do with a serpent. Amen. I don't understand these folks that they got pet snakes. You ever met anybody like that? I hope there's nobody like that here tonight. I don't want to offend you, but I always worry about people like that. Amen. I had a neighbor one day, and he one time when I was young, he had this python about 8 foot long. He'd come out and feed it mice to it, and he'd carry it around his neck. And I asked him one day, I said, "Man, whatever happened to a dog or a kitty? You want a pet? Whatever happened to a kitty cat? Why you got to have a snake for a pet?" You know, I just never understood that. But this man came across a rattlesnake in his garden, and he did what anybody would probably do. He got a garden hoe out, and he took care of that thing. He hewed it up, cut it in pieces, chopped it in two. But here's what got my attention. That next part of that story said that elder farmer reached down to pick up the head of that dead rattlesnake. And when he did, somehow that severed head bit him and injected venom into him. And that man ended up, by the time somebody called him, one of his children, he was an elder man, lived alone. They finally got a hold of him and found him, and he was laid out sick, been there for some time. They got him to the hospital, and he died en route to the hospital. And the article said this, the true story, that man died from the bite of a dead serpent. Can you imagine that? He died from the bite of a crushed, defeated serpent. And I never knew that was possible. But that article went on and said there's something about serpents, certain ones like the rattlesnake, they've got reflex muscles. Some of them do. And you can kill them, you can chop them up, and for 1 hour still, those reflex muscles work, and they can snap and bite and inject venom, and they're still deadly. And that article went on and it said 15% of everybody in America who dies annually from a snake bite, they die from the bite of a dead serpent. Amen. You know what the article said? Too many people get careless around a defeated serpent. Amen. It's been crushed already. It's defeated. It's dead. But they get careless. Amen. And oh, when I read that, I got a spiritual lesson from that. How many know tonight the devil is a defeated foe? Yes, he is. I don't want you again. I'm not here to glorify him. I wouldn't waste my breath doing it. Amen. Jesus was crushed that devil at Calvary, at the old rugged cross. He crushed his head. That's why I love the cross. It's three-dimensional. You ever notice that? It's a 3D tree, Brother Wendell. It reaches up to heaven. It reaches out to whosoever will. And it reaches down because it crushed the devil. It destroyed the works of darkness. But here's what I want to preach to you tonight. You know why we need to have revival? I know the devil's defeated. I know he's crushed. But we are living in that last hour. Amen. Amen. We're living in the last day. We're living in the time of the coming of the Son of God. The devil knows he's got 1 hour left. He's got 1 hour to fight and get the backslider out of church and discourage the saint. I'll tell you tonight, let's not lose the power of God in this last hour. I'll tell you what I want to do when the trumpet is sounding. I want to be living in victory. I want to be full of the power of God. We can have a revival in this last hour, but we're going to have to get power that's greater than the power of the enemy. Amen. The devil's still fighting and biting and hindering and trying to come against us. If you don't believe that, read Luke 22 sometime. I'm not going to preach much longer. But in Luke 22, Jesus is in the Garden of Gethsemane praying. And here comes Judas, a serpent, into the garden. I got a feeling if you could have looked at Judas in the spirit realm, he had that same spirit of the python. Amen. The Bible said at the Last Supper, Satan entered him. You remember that? The serpent. You hear the hiss in that kiss of betrayal. Amen. There's a serpent in Judas. And you remember what happened? When Judas comes in the garden, Peter is kind of like that old farmer. Amen. He pulls out a sword. He's ready to chop up a serpent, isn't he? He's ready to hew him up. But Jesus rebuked him. This battle's not fought with earthly swords. Amen. Put up your sword, Peter. If you live by the sword, you'll die by the swords. What Jesus said. And then Jesus turned his attention. He looked at Judas and the crowd, and I believe he's talking deeper than to them. I believe he's talking to the devil himself. Amen. And you read it. Here's what Jesus said, Luke 22 and 53. He said, "This is your hour and the power of darkness." Amen. That's what he told that sinful crowd. This is your hour and the power of darkness. You know what Jesus was saying? The devil does have an hour. Amen. The devil does have a time when he's loose and he's working. And I'm here to warn us about that. But in the middle of that verse tonight, I see a reason to be encouraged. Amen. I see a reason to have revival. You know why? Jesus told the devil, "All you got's 1 hour." Amen. He didn't say, "Devil, I'm giving you a day or a week or a month or a year." He said, "I'm giving you nothing but an hour, devil." That's a limited time. That's a short span. And you know what that means? If we can keep praying, I know there's sin all around. It looks like the devil's attacking. But if the church can keep on the fire in line, keep worshiping, keep living right, in a little while the clock's going to strike midnight, the trumpet's going to sound, the devil's hour's over, we're going up, he's going in a bottomless pit, we're going to shout, and he's going to be down there bound up forever. I come to tell you tonight, don't quit now, don't get discouraged now, don't backslide now. There's power in the name of Jesus. No other name under heaven but the name of Jesus. You can get loose tonight and come out of here with the victory that you need in God. Amen. How many like to have victory in this revival? There's a spirit like a python that's on the loose. You know what the encyclopedia said about a python? Here's their mode of attack. And I see a very similarity between a python in the earthly realm and our enemy, this serpent. The python gets up in the tree in the jungle in Africa or Panama. And a lot of times they get over a busy, beaten, well-traveled path and they lurk. They wait. And as soon as a deer or a person comes down that path, the python drops and it quickly coils. Amen? And it begins to squeeze. And here's what is notable about a python. And again, I remind you, this spirit's like a python. Amen? Here's what's notable about it. It doesn't kill by its bite. It kills by putting the squeeze on. Amen? It kills by suffocation. In fact, here's what the encyclopedia said. The python kills by taking the breath away from the body. Amen? And if I can spiritualize that tonight, how many knows what we're the body, right? The church, the body of Christ. Amen? And you know what our breath is? It's not talent, ability, organization. It is the Holy Ghost. Amen? The Spirit of life, the breath of the living God. Amen? I'll tell you what the python's after. He's after the breath of the church, the move of the Holy Ghost. Amen? Hallelujah. You know what we need tonight on this first night of revival? We need a fresh breath from heaven. We need God to breathe on us again. I tell you what I need tonight. You remember John chapter 20? The church was up in an upper chamber. They were fearful for the Jews. Here's all they knew. It looks like everything's coming unraveled. Amen. Jesus has been crucified. Thomas is out doubting. He wasn't at that service. That's the one he missed. Peter's denied the Lord. Judas has hung himself. Everybody's discouraged. discouraged. Amen. They're up there fretting. But all of a sudden, here comes Jesus. Amen. They had the door shut. They weren't planning on having church. But he walks right in the middle of them. And how many knows when he walks in the midst, you can't help but have revival. Amen. Here he comes. And he walks right in. We need him to walk in at this altar call tonight. You and I need him to come in the middle of this house. And here's what he did when he got there. John 20 and 22 said, he breathed on them and said, receive ye the Holy Ghost. I tell you, you know how to overcome the python. Get to that upper room and get your breath back. Don't let the devil take it. We can run him out of here tonight. We can be a mighty army. We can break loose. We can have revival. But it's going to take a power in the Holy Ghost to get it. Amen. Here's something else notable about a python. When they have done autopsies of python victims, I thought this is amazing. They said almost never, very rarely, is a bone broke in the body of a python victim. You know what they said? It's strange. The python squeezes, but it never breaks bones. Amen? Here's what they said. Something odd about it. The python isn't after the bones, it's after the breath. Amen? And you know what the bones represent? The bones represent the structure, right? The form, our skeletal form. And you know what that lets me know tonight? The devil's the same way. The devil don't care. The Bible said he don't care if we have a form of godliness. Hello? Amen? As long as we're denying the power thereof, right? I want to say this before we get ready to pray. And this might surprise you tonight, but I believe Brother Helton will agree. The devil don't care if we come to church every night. We need to. Amen? It's going to be important that you're here. But the devil don't care if we come every night. The devil don't care if I preach. The devil don't care if we sing. Jerry Pascarella don't tremble the devil. Amen. And I don't want to be rude, but you don't scare him either by yourself. Amen. We're nothing in our flesh. The devil don't care if we come six nights, get up here and go through the motions and go home, as long as nobody gets help. Amen. As long as it's just a form and a function and a get together and a meeting and a ritual. I'll tell you what makes the devil scared. When people like Paul start saying, in the name of Jesus, we're here to worship. Amen. In the name of Jesus, we come under that authority. We come under that power. When souls get saved, amen, and people get refilled, and the church gets on fire, that's when the devil gets on the run. I come to tell you tonight, let's get the power. Let's get tired of the form. We need the fire. Let's get tired of the structure. We need the Spirit. We need life. Let God breathe on you, and we can find revival in this generation. Amen. If you want revival, won't you stand over this house? Raise your hands to God in heaven. Let's say, God, breathe on me. Come on, church. Breathe on me, God. The breath of life. I don't want to die a victim of the python. Lord, tonight, I want victory. Open my heart, Jesus. Lord, I want to hear the word of God, and I want to be a doer around this altar, God. Hallelujah. I'll tell you how I feel. I come this week with a burden for revival, and I'll just share my heart with you as we get ready to pray. I don't care if it comes in the preaching, the singing. I don't care if I'm the one doing it or if it's you. We just got to find a way to get loose. Amen. We got to find a way to be Pentecostal again, don't we? I want to say something. I haven't been here. It's not a shot at this church at all. Every time I'm here, I feel the Holy Ghost. I feel the good Spirit. But I'll tell you what I'm seeing across the land. We're losing the spirit of Pentecost. Amen. We're losing that spontaneous. Sure, we raise our hands when the preacher says, everybody praise God. But I'm talking about that spirit that used to cause people to come in singing. Amen. Come in shouting. You know what's happened? A python's choked it out. And we got to get a burden again. What attracted them in that upper room when a church came out with fresh life? Amen. Fresh fire. It drew the sinner. I'll tell you tonight, we got to have that life again. And you know when it starts? Somebody needs to get good and mad at the devil. Amen. That don't sound like very much, but you know how it happened? The Bible said that serpent followed them many days and hindered. But here's what verse 18 said. But Paul being grieved. Amen. He got mad. You know what Paul said? I'm sick and tired of a python hindering us around here. Amen. I'm sick and tired. He got grieved tonight. I wonder how many's mad at seeing the devil wreck and ruin and destroy homes and churches. We ought to get mad in the spirit. And Paul turned, and he didn't go after the woman. He went after the Spirit. He said to the Spirit, in the name of Jesus, not my name, not Paul, not some great preacher, in the name of Jesus, come out. And all it took is that same hour. Amen. And I say tonight, it's not going to take a long time to have revival. In one altar call, one service, one night, we can see salvation and deliverance. Amen. But we got to get mad at the enemy. How about it tonight? Won't you say, I want to put him under my foot? Amen. I'm going to open this altar. Everybody that wants to shake him off and get him under your foot, put him in the fire of the Holy Ghost. Won't you get around this altar tonight? Say, God, breathe on me again. We want Pentecost at any cost, God. We want to feel that liberty to shout and rejoice and live for you again. I don't want to be bound and held and restricted. I want the power of the Holy Ghost. Come on, there's a deliverance power.
We had
there's a victorious power. It's the power of the Son of God. Oh, yes. Come on, saints of God. Let's get revival fire stirring. Stir up the gift that is in you. Let's see a move of God. We want a breath.
The
we want a newness of life. Breathe on me, God, that I may live.
While we wait.
We don't want to lose Pentecost.
It's late.
We want a fresh touch.
Is
gone. Come on, saints of God.
Say no.
Greater is he that is in us than he that is in the world.
There's no time
greater,
to borrow.
Greater is he that's in us than
it's
he that's in the world.
Now.
Come on tonight.
The helpless millions reach out for mercy's hand. While God's still searching for,
come on, my friend,
someone to
greater is he that's in us
land
than he that's in the world. God's got another
so
breath of life for somebody that wants it.
Never know when
I
came.
God's got a newness
like holy grain. Yes, we're all to blame. Yet in his nail-scarred hand,
let him breathe on you, the breath of life.
Let him
take you to the upper room tonight and give you the power.
He seeks for you to join the few and work the field. Say not tomorrow, I hold to the plow. There's no time to borrow. It's summer now. The helpless millions reach out for mercy's hand. While God's still searching for someone to heal the land. So many died, never knowing why he came, like falling grain, we were all to blame, yet in his nail-scarred hands, the deed to land of a bond to yield, he seeks for you. So join the few and walk the field. Say not tomorrow, but I hold to the plow. There's no time to borrow, for it's summer now. The helpless millions reach out for mercy's hand. While God's still searching for someone to till the land. Say not tomorrow, when I hold to the plow. There's no time to borrow, for it's summer now. The helpless millions reach out for mercy's hand. While God's still searching for someone to till the land. There's no time to borrow, for it's summer now. The helpless millions reach out for mercy's hand, while God's still searching for someone to till the land. My God's still searching for someone to till the land. Oh, there's power, so much power. There's power in the name. In the name of Jesus, power, so much power, there's power in the name. Oh, there's power, so much power, there's power in the name. In the name of Jesus, power, so much power, there's power in the name. Well, a man came to Jesus. He said, Lord, I want to be healed. My body's all filled with sores, but Lord, I want to live. Jesus reached out and touched him. All of his sores went away. Just like a healed that man, he will take your sickness away. Cause there's power, so much power. There's power in the name of Jesus. Power, so much power. There's power in the name. Well, if you really know that the Lord has brought you through, why you want to lift your hands and say, hey, I'm a witness too? Why you want to clap your hands and tell him, I have no doubt, through all of my troubles and trials, it was Jesus brought me out. Yeah, power, so much power. There's power in the name of Jesus. Power, so much power. There's power. Oh, if you really know God has brought you through, why you want to lift your hand and say, hey, I'm a witness too? Or you want to clap your hands and tell him, I have no doubt, through all of my troubles and trials, it was Jesus brought me out. Yeah, power, so much power. There's power in the name of Jesus. Power, so much power. There's power in the name. Oh, you talk about power in the name. Power. You talk about power. Talk about the Holy Ghost power. I talk about the Holy Ghost power. I need that power. Our church, we need that power. The Holy Ghost power. It's all in the name of Jesus. All in the name of Jesus. Do you have that power? Do you have that power? I talk about the Holy Ghost power. Talk about the Holy Ghost power. All this power. So much power. There's power in the name of Jesus. Power, so much power. There's power in the name. power. There's power in the name of Jesus. Power, so much power. There's power in the name. The Lord's brought you through. You want to lift your hands and say, hey, I'm a witness too. You want to clap your hands, tell them I have no doubt. Through all of my troubles and trials, it was Jesus brought me out. Yeah, power, so much power. There's power in the name of Jesus. Power, so much power. Power in the name. Lord, Lord.